Welcome to Belfast City Vineyard, where we are pursuing formation in the presence of Jesus, community gathered around him, and the impact he empowers us to bring in our families, city, and the world. The following message was given at one of our Sunday services. For more information, visit our website at belfastcityvineyard.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. It is great to be with you. We are in a sermon series on the book of Ephesians in the Bible. But last week, we paused that sermon series, and Katie Wilson, our children's pastor, just took a morning to help us begin the journey into Lent, the season of the church year called Lent. And we are now journeying into that together. There's lots of resources to help that journey through Lent for us as a church family. You can find them on our website and in our BCV weekly email. So don't miss any of those. Well, as I said, we've been in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and we've called this sermon series Foundations because it offers us a foundation to build our lives, our identity, our worldviews on. And Ephesians powerfully and beautifully shows us what God has done for us in Jesus and then tells us how we should live in light of that. And most recently, we were in chapter 2, verses 1 to 10, which shows how God's power and believing the gospel about Jesus affected the Ephesian Christians and us as well, those of us who put our faith in Jesus. And you can catch up with that and any of the other talks on Ephesians as we've taught verse by verse through this book of the Bible. You can catch up with that on our YouTube channel. But before we jump into the rest of chapter 2, I really felt prompted to do something a little bit different and to speak more devotionally this morning. I want to share some of the things the Holy Spirit is speaking to me about through Ephesians thus far. And just some of the gifts from Ephesians to BCV in this hard and dark season. And as I was meditating on Ephesians, particularly in chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, but particularly the end of verse 6, where Jesus is called the Beloved or the one he loves. So the verses say, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in according with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, or other translations might say, in the Beloved. We've been given all this in Jesus, the one God loves, or God's beloved Son. And because of Jesus, we are adopted into God's family, and it's all by grace. We are in him. We are united to him by faith. And it's there that the Holy Spirit really drew my attention, this idea that we are in Jesus, the Beloved. And that's a place where I believe he wants to strengthen our foundations in this season. He wants to ground us deeper in the truth of the gospel, that in Jesus we are now also the beloved children of God. And we can and should live from that reality. And that's what I want to talk to us about today. Well, we first see Jesus as the beloved in the gospels at his baptism. And we read in Mark chapter 1, verses 10 to 11, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. And again, some of our translations probably say, you're my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Bible shows us this picture of Jesus in the Gospels, that before he did any ministry, before he did anything really at all, he's endorsed by the Father, he's anointed by the Spirit. And this is absolutely vital and essential. And we see Jesus then move out from there, and he lives and ministers out of this true identity, the reality of being the beloved Son of God. And he never wavers from that, even under the most extreme pressure possible. And for most of us who follow Jesus, it's not hard for us to see Jesus as God's beloved Son. We read about it in the scriptures and it basically makes sense to us. The problem tends to be in seeing ourselves as beloved children of God. In my experience leading BCV, by far the vast majority of us are far too hard on ourselves, unable to show ourselves the same compassion and mercy that Jesus does. I know that's my story. For some of us, not being able to live as the beloved manifests in self-rejection and self-loathing and anxieties and insecurities that come from that. For some of us, not being able to live as the beloved manifests in like bravado and bluster and striving and performance. We feel like we have to earn something or prove something to someone or to ourselves or even to God himself. You know, for most of us, embracing that because of Jesus, we too are beloved children of God is really, really hard. But the scriptures tell us that even though it is hard, we can rest in God's love for us in Jesus, the beloved, and allow it to heal and change and secure us. And it can actually become the foundation that our lives stand on forever. Not only is Jesus God's beloved, the scriptures tell us that all who are united to him are beloved as well. A really important chapter of the book of John is John chapter 15. It's really important to us in BCV over the years. And it tells us some really profound things. It says, I am the vine and you are the branches. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, the way forward with Jesus to walk with him is to abide or remain or dwell with him. And we're the branches and he is the life source, the main vine, and we're supposed to stay in him. And then a few verses later, we see verse 9, where he says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. Remain in my love. The same kind of love the Father has for the Son. So the Father has for Jesus. In other words, the Father is, Jesus is the beloved of the Father and the Father is well pleased in him. That's the same kind of love Jesus has for us, he's teaching us in John chapter 15. And we're commanded then to remain or dwell in his love, to not to leave it, but to remain in it. And again, back to our Ephesians chapter 1 passage, it reminds us that by grace, we were chosen by God. Long before we could earn anything or prove anything, long before we could disqualify or disgrace ourselves, we were chosen in Christ, in the Beloved. And when we say yes to him, we live in this powerful, dynamic union with him now and forever. We're adopted into God's family because of the Beloved Son. And we are now called beloved child, son or daughter of the living God. Just take a moment and think for a second. What would it be like to live as the beloved, just like Jesus lived as the beloved Son? What would it look like to follow him in this, to remain in his love? How would that impact your life? Well, if you read about Jesus in the Gospels, you know that he was always inviting people to follow him. And what he meant by that was to follow him as his disciple, or we might call it an apprentice, to take on his way, the way in which the master approached life. We're to apprentice ourselves to Jesus. So we don't just think about Jesus or agree with his overall direction of life and wisdom. We actually put on his way or take on his way. We practice his way. We put his life and practices into action in all sorts of different ways. And he's talking about this in Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 47. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. And then he goes on to tell the parable about the people who build a house on the rock and not on the sand. And so he's just emphasizing it's not enough to hear his words. We must put his words into practice in our daily life. That's what following him as his disciple or his apprentice looks like or means. And if you've been around BCV for any length of time, you know that we're always talking about following Jesus in this way. And we've made it the serious intention of our lives to do that, to try and do that, to not just believe things about him, but to actually abide in him and apprentice ourselves to him and to walk in his way, to walk in the way in which he walked. And this has always been really incredibly important to me personally and to many people in BCV. Dallas Willard, philosopher, theologian of blessed memory, says it this way. He says, my central claim is that we become like Christ by doing one thing, by following him in the overall style of life he chose for himself. If we have faith in Christ, we must believe he knew how to live. We can, through faith and grace, become like Christ by practicing the type of activities he engaged in, by arranging our whole lives around the activities he himself practiced in order to remain constantly at home in the fellowship of the Father. This is a quote that I have thought about an awful lot over the years, and it's something I've actually tried to build into my own life, or rather build my life around, that Jesus knew how to live, and that we also can live well by taking on his way. We, by practicing the same practices he himself did, things like solitude, silence, devotion to the scriptures, prayer, and many other things he did that we see in the scriptures, to become like him and to stay close to him, to hear his words and put them into practice. And well, you might be just asking yourself, what does this have to do with Ephesians and living as the beloved? Well, back to what some of the things I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me. A few weeks ago, I was meditating on Ephesians chapter 1 and primarily verse 6. And the fact that we have all these things in Jesus the Beloved, or in the one whom God loves. And all the things I've shared thus far, including Dallas Willard, had like a big collision in my brain. And I began to just hear the Spirit just reinforce some things in my life. And I think it's foundational for all of us, that if following Jesus is actively doing what he himself did, taking on his way, and if he lived out of this belovedness, then part of following Jesus is we need to do that too. We follow him even in this, to learn from him how to live from the security, peace, and hope that comes from believing the gospel. That by faith and grace, we are saved by him, we are united to him, we are forgiven, we are deeply loved, and we are shown grace and mercy. We are the beloved now. We are part of his new family and kingdom. And we're to make this pursuit, this following of him, even in this, living as the beloved, the active intention of our lives, following him in the way in which he himself lived as the beloved. We should do this in an active way, not a passive way. I think that this is something really important for us as BCV and anyone else who wants in. I think it's one of the gifts of Ephesians to us, is this laying and restoring and relaying this foundation in us, that even when we were broken in sin, Jesus died for us, and we, by faith and grace, are now safe and secure in his love. And in another letter Paul wrote called Romans, he picks up on this and he says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are to live in this love, and nothing can separate us. And it is part of our devotion and worship and discipleship and obedience to Jesus to embrace this and to live as beloved sons and daughters of the living God, alive and well in Jesus' kingdom. Now, I wanted to say a word of application quickly to particularly men who are watching this. And this idea of living as the beloved and living as loved sons of God and children of God, it might be striking you right now as like, this is really soft and not masculine, and I can't even really engage with this very well. It hasn't really been part of my story, and I don't really know why this is important, and isn't this just kind of fantasy land and, you know, warm fuzzies and make us feel better? But we're men and we don't need that kind of stuff. And I just have some questions for you that hopefully are going to draw us into why this is important. And the first question is, you know, for those of you that have children, what do you want your children to know? What do you want them to know? What, when you look your son or your daughter in the eye, what do you want for them? What do you want for them? My guess is, if you're a parent, You want them to know. You want them to be really secure in your love for them at the deepest level possible. Like it would be really important to you, right? Well, I think we're starting to get at why this might be important, even for men. But I want to go a little bit further and a little bit deeper and speak right to any men that are watching this. And I want to picture your own story, right? So men, I want you to draw your gaze back to when you were a boy, even a little boy. What do you wish you had coming towards you from your own father or mother? Do you want, and did you want and need deep, unconditional love as a foundational security point in your life? If you didn't ever get that, you know how deep that wound is. If you've wrestled with that, you know how deep that wound is. You know how important this is. If you look out in the world today, there are many, many people chasing that kind of love in thousands of different ways. It's really important. And what if living as the beloved, what if living secure in the love of God in Christ Jesus for us, what if this is actually a strong, robust thing that we all desire at the deepest point of our being? What if it's something you deserve and can have from Jesus, the strongest person that you will ever meet? And what if living in His love is the most courageous, risky, and strong thing you can do? And what if chasing happiness elsewhere, like in things like substances, worldviews, money, sex, success, whatever, what if chasing this kind of love everywhere else is actually one of the weakest things we could ever do? And I just want to say, would you think about all this? And would you consider doing something challenging, brave, and risky, and placing your full faith in Jesus and learning from Him how to walk as a beloved child of God? I want to talk about the overflow of our lives and some of the obstacles to really doing this, really living from this place for all of us are things like doubt and apathy and letting our brokenness and our fear and our shame set the agenda for our lives or have the loudest voice in our lives. Well, another obstacle is feeling that embracing this status as beloved sons or daughters is like arrogant or even cocky. Like, who do we think we are? You know, to be thinking that even. Well, here's what I want us to think about. What did living as the beloved lead to for Jesus? What did it lead to for Jesus? Let's just look at Him. What did the deep security in living in ministry, living and ministering out of that love and security from His Father, what did that overflow into for Jesus? Well, it was the foundation for the most powerful and influential life this world has ever seen. He couldn't be stopped. And He couldn't be intimidated, and He couldn't be distracted or put off, and He was able to humbly serve. He was able to embody genuine, life-changing compassion for the people He met. He was able to show incredible courage. He was able to offer people deep peace and contentment, and He was able to show self-sacrificial love for His friends and even His enemies, even unto death. And I know we have a great church and a wonderful church. You are a beautiful community. But I don't want us to miss this gift to us from Ephesians and, of course, from God Himself. There is so much at stake. See, due to the pandemic, everything around us is changing and has changed and is continually growing more uncertain. And I believe He wants to lay this foundation in us. He wants to prepare us to leave this wilderness of a pandemic, actively embracing and living from this place that we are beloved sons and daughters of living God because of Jesus. Our families, our streets, our city, our church, this island is going to need men and women like you and me living securely in the love of God for us in Christ. We're going to need us to meet this moment. He's going to need us to meet this moment, to rebuild, to recover lost things, to point many others to the love of Jesus. And the same things that overflowed from Jesus' life can overflow from ours as well as we follow Him in living as the beloved children of God. Things like peace, hope, mercy, sacrificial love, compassion, radical courage, purpose, humility, and we'll also have power from Him to fulfill His calling on our lives, good works which He has created in advance for us to do. We're going to need to meet this moment, and I believe the Lord is laying a foundation for us. He's returning us to living and embracing this status as the beloved children of God to set us up in strength to meet this moment in the coming days, weeks, and months. Well, where would I start? Where do you even start with all of this? Well, the first place is that many of us, myself included, need to repent. That's a starting point to beginning to live in the love of God, to live as the beloved. Because many of us, myself included, have been hard and unforgiving towards ourselves. And we refuse to show ourselves mercy, even when Jesus shows us incredible mercy. And doing that isn't virtuous. It's actually disobedient. You know, when we do that, we're saying, no, I'm the judge and I know better and I don't need your forgiveness. I don't need to accept your forgiveness. I don't qualify for being the beloved. I'll make that decision. And we dethrone Jesus. And it's not good. And we need to say sorry. And we need to take active measures to turn from that, to remain in His love, to rest in the gospel that we are broken and we fail, but we are able to live securely in the love of Jesus. I've been there. And if that's you this morning, I would encourage you just to repent and to take some moments and say, Lord, I am so sorry. And I want to change. Please help me. Many of us also, our step forward is to build or rebuild practices into our life that reinforce this status of living as the beloved because of Jesus. There are tons of resources for this on our website, which you can go to and find loads. But I want to just mention one that we have, and that is a little booklet called How to Spend Time with Jesus. We can send this out to you as a PDF, or we can post out the actual booklet to you if you don't have one, and if you would want one. And what it is we've written up just how to have a basic time with Jesus. If that's just never worked for you, how to spend time every day with Jesus and be in His presence and practice that, maybe this little booklet is a way to start. It's helped many people in our church and many other churches just begin to have daily, sustained, life-giving time with Jesus. And that's a great first step. So if you want one, we'll send one. You can email info@BelfastCityVineyard.com and we'll post it out to you. And what if for Lent we took on a practice? And what if we didn't worry about the rest of our lives? Are we going to sustain this forever? What if we just worried about that for Lent? And see, practices like this, like, you know, this booklet on how to follow Jesus or increasing prayer or something like that, these practices, they don't save us, okay? What they do is they help us get active. And when things like doubt or the lies of the enemy or fear or apathy or the harsh things we say or believe about ourselves hit us, we are able to get active and we can push back and we can stand on the truth of the gospel that we are safe and secure in Jesus the Beloved and because of His grace and our faith in Him. And even when we fail, nothing can separate us from His love. And even when we face consequences because of our own sin and brokenness and wrong choices, nothing can separate us from His healing and redeeming love. And that's what practices do. They anchor us in this true foundation. They give us a firm foothold to push back against the lies of the enemy and even our own harsh critiques of ourselves. They help us remain in His love, as John chapter 15 says. Also, some of us, a next step might be to formally approach someone in BCV who you think is just a bit further along in their journey with Jesus. Approach them to disciple you, or to, in other words, just to help you follow Jesus well. And that might mean meeting regularly on Zoom or going for walks, but you asking lots of questions and putting some of their wisdom on following Jesus into practice. You know, will you do that? If you're like, look, I've tried on my own, hasn't really worked, or I haven't even been able to find my try to try it, but I know there's so much at stake here and I want this and I want a different life. I want to live as the beloved. Will you find someone in BCV to help you and to disciple you? And will you ask them to help you follow Jesus? There's lots of people like life group leaders and lots of other people that really would love to help you in this. Maybe you could be vulnerable and ask someone for help and let them into your journey and your story. Maybe for you, you have never given your life to Jesus. You've never committed to Jesus at all that you can ever remember. And the kind of love that we're talking about is the kind of love that he has for you right now today. So I want to ask, will you begin following him today? Will you place your faith in him today? And if you want to do that, just join with me in prayer right now. Just pray this prayer after me. You don't need to pray it out loud. You can pray it in your heart. Jesus, I need you. I confess my brokenness and the wrongs that I have done. I believe you died for me and rose again in victory. Forgive me, heal me, save me, live in me and lead me. I want to follow you. Come be the center of my life. If you prayed that, you've begun your journey. We'd love to help you further on with your journey. You can just email andy@belfastcityvineyard.com and we would love to pray with and for you. And it would just be amazing to help you on this journey. But if you did pray that prayer and if you've committed your life to Jesus in that way, you have begun this journey of walking as the beloved child of God. Well, for all of us, will you embrace this and will you follow Jesus in living as the beloved, especially those of you who you've never thought of this before or you're like me, your default settings are to be incredibly hard, even merciless on yourself. Will you make this the active intention of your life to know him, to follow him, and to learn to live in his deep, transforming, eternal love for you as his beloved? I believe Jesus is standing before all of us saying, remain in my love. Will you spend the rest of your life doing all you can to remain in his love and care and to let that overflow and impact the world around you? Come, Holy Spirit, and rest on us as a church. Would you help us to come up out of this pandemic wilderness in your strength and power and with deep foundations, able to live securely as your beloved children? Amen. This may have stirred up a lot for you, and you would really love to be prayed for. And as always, every Sunday, there's prayer ministry now available. You can head over to our BCV weekly service page and sign up for a slot, and somebody very soon will pray for you over Zoom this morning. Also, our coffee time is starting soon, and again, you can find it on our BCV service page. You can find the link to that and how to join in. And what you need this morning is just to gather some people and have a chat and kind of hang out for a little bit. And so again, head over to the weekly service page, sign up for prayer ministry and coffee time. I just want to say God bless you. And this has been a little bit of a different talk this morning, but I believe it's powerful. I believe it's one of the gifts of the gospel to us. I believe it's one of the gifts of Ephesians to us as BCV. Let's journey this in Lent, and let's journey this for the rest of our lives, living as beloved sons and daughters of the living God and letting that overflow and impact the world around us. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this message. For all the latest information about what's happening in the life of our church, or if you have any questions or comments, head over to BelfastCityVineyard.com.